podcast up. I haven't done it yet. I apologize. Busy, 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 busy. But that is not a good excuse, and I will get those done. Once again, let me click. Forgot I printed off something today, and I can't find where I printed it to. So there's a lot of printers in this building. Tuesday, which is tomorrow, Northern Iowa versus Missouri State. It's a 7 o'clock tip-off. There's no pregame tomorrow because we have Hawkeye Huddle right after my show, or it's going to be CBS for that matter, and then it'll jump right into the tip-off. Saturday, you get Northern Iowa at Belmont, and then we get the run of games. You get the Jags and the Chargers. What a great game that's going to be. Chargers happen to go to Jacksonville because Jacksonville is the division winner. So that is interesting. Dolphins and the Bills, Giants at the Vikings, and the Ravens at the Bengals. And then you get the Cowboys having to go to Tampa Bay and play Tom Brady on Monday night. So exciting times. Chief Kingdom, like I said, is on tonight after the show at 6 p.m. And I'm out on Tuesday, and I'm out next Monday, and we'll get rolling from there. Oh, who do I have this time? Heritage Building Maintenance provides quality health-centric building maintenance and janitorial services throughout Central Iowa. They provide the best solutions for building maintenance and commercial janitorial services. Heritage is future-focused and driven by technology to find a healthier and more efficient way to serve their clients. They believe they should provide the first line of defense and proper health care, be industry leaders in implementing health-focused innovation and technology, providing peace of mind and protecting our future by being certified partners of science-proven microbial control to provide an advanced level of janitorial services to their clients. Go to heritagebuilding.com to check out more about cleaning and the future of janitorial services. Heritage Building Maintenance, thank you. Some other games this weekend. Kansas City Chiefs were in Las Vegas, took care of those Las Vegas Raiders pretty easy. 31-13, ran the ball well, threw the ball well, protected, played good defense. Going to enjoy their bye week and see what happens. They're going to get at least one home game. The championship game for the conference, they will not. It's in if Cincinnati or Buffalo, one of those two teams, then I think they flip a – no, they don't even flip a coin. They go to a neutral site. I don't even think they've announced the neutral site yet. If they have, somebody could yell and scream at me. Saturday, we were getting ready to – we were going to a birthday celebration for my very good friend Dee. We went to Miss Kitty's. Been a long time since I've been to Miss Kitty's. We had a really good time. We stopped at Jethro's on the way, and we got to watch the majority of the Jags and the Titans and the Jaguars win that game. They're 9-8. They're in the playoffs. They get a home playoff game. Take that, Urban Meyer, you ding-dong. Wasted year because of Urban Meyer on Trevor Lawrence. That's too bad. The Atlanta Falcons beat the Tampa Bay Bucks. Didn't really mean anything for either team. The New England Patriots, I have to flip my page here, I apologize, lost to those Buffalo Bills. Two kickoff returns. It was actually a pretty fun game. You can tell that there's a couple, and I'm going to give you the two. Mac Jones with New England Patriots. And, oh my gosh, that's the problem when you get old. I mean, Kenny Pickett, my goodness, it was right on the tip of my, okay. And here's the bad thing. I had to think smaller hands to think of Kenny Pickett. And I have no idea why that made any kind of sense. I think they both have shown that they can be good quarterbacks. I think for Mac Jones, he needs a way better offensive coordination team. Having Joe Judge and Matt Patricia, who are a special teams coach and a defensive coach, be your offensive coordinator. Oh, Bill. And I think the Steelers just need to keep working with him. I think they both have shown that they are going to be NFL quarterbacks, NFL starting quarterbacks. I really believe that. My Baltimore Ravens lost to my nephew's Cincinnati Bengals. It was a big game for the Bengals. Come back, you get a play, get some mojo. Joe Burrow, they asked him, you know, what's the highest expectations of what you think for the playoffs and all that for the rest of your, I mean, for your career? And he's like, every year we should win every year. We should be able to be close to going or going to the Super Bowl and winning every year. I like that. No Lamar Jackson, no second string quarterback, a third string quarterback. He got hurt. I don't know who they had come in and play quarterback. I don't think that game, it didn't matter because there was nothing that well, it might have in division. I don't know. Some people said it could have Baltimore and they'd had to flip a coin or something. The Baltimore Ravens are not good. I actually on social media today, and I don't usually negative on teams I like. I don't usually go negative on teams sometimes. But I'm like, they need to change their offense. They need to get weapons. They need to fire their nutritional training, everything. The most missed games in football from their football team. For now, ever since COVID, they were the, who did COVID affect the most in the NFL? The Baltimore Ravens. Who's had the most injuries in the last couple of years? The Baltimore Ravens. Figure it out. My goodness. The Texans and the Colts, we talked about that a little bit. The Texans winning that game. Lovie Smith going for two to win the game. Now they have the number two pick instead of the number one pick. Love it. Thought that was hilarious. The Jets and the Dolphins, 11-6. Heard people saying today that there's a good chance that Tua starts in the playoff game. Man, I hope not. He needs some recovery time. I'll save that talk for when Scott comes back and I'll yell at him. The Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints, please, why was that game anywhere near a television set? Like I said, the Pittsburgh Steelers won. The Chargers. Now, here's an interesting one, and I've listened to this all day. I am not a Brendan Staley fan. I am not, and we will talk about this because of some of the coaching openings and the coaching people. I am not anti-defensive coordinator, but I am anti-defensive coordinator when you have either a young and developing quarterback or a established quarterback and you don't give some say or anything with how the offense is going to, it just doesn't work. And it hasn't worked for the Panthers. It hasn't worked for the Saints. It hasn't worked for the Chargers. And Brendan Staley's been kind of on everybody's radar for a while now. Number one, the Broncos played really well. Russell Wilson had another nice game, 283 yards, three touchdowns. That of all the openings, and we'll talk about that here in a second. I think that I agree with people that might be just based on talent might be the best opportunity. But the Denver Broncos won that game, and the Chargers got nothing out of that game, absolutely nothing, but played people. And Mike Williams got hurt. I mean, he barely could walk back to the locker room. And somebody else on their team got hurt as well because he was playing starters. I don't understand. The Philadelphia Eagles beat the Giants 22-16. It looked like Jalen Hurts hadn't played for a while, and it looks like Jalen Hurts isn't healthy. And the New York Giants lost that game 22-16, and they did not play people. Daniel Jones did not play. Saquon Barkley did not play. Boy, I don't know what I think about the Eagles, and that bye week's going to help them just to get some rest. We talked a little bit about the Cardinals game and the 49ers. Brock Purdy, three touchdowns. He's just efficient, folks. Is he an all-star caliber Hall of Fame? You know, I love my wife Jennifer. She's like, well, he's just like Kurt Warner, except for the fact he's not as big. And I don't even know about his. I thought his arm strength looked really good yesterday. He looked really good yesterday. This is what I will say about Brock Purdy, because I love Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy made 4 years of watching Cyclone football a blast for me. Here's some people that don't fit in a Kyle Shanahan offense. So Lamar Jackson, a Kyler Murray. There's way more people that don't fit into a Kyle Shanahan or in a Green Bay Packer, the way that they look at how the quarterback is. With Kyle Shanahan, somebody like Brock Purdy, he gets two reads and he gets rid of the ball, and he can move enough to get out of trouble to still throw the ball, doesn't take a lot of sacks, and doesn't throw a lot of bad balls. And that's what he's doing. And he's winning football games for the San Francisco 49ers. And everybody says, well, the San Francisco 49ers don't play anybody. And I have standings pulled up here. The Washington Commanders were 8-8-1. Tampa Bay, it was 8-9, but they're in the playoffs. Seattle is in the playoffs, and they are 9-8. Now I give you the Las Vegas Raiders. They're 6-11, and I give you the Arizona Cardinals. But it's not like he's played the easiest schedule, and he is the leading passer in these six games in the NFL. That is Josh Allen. That is Patrick Mahomes. That is Joe Burrow. It's Brock Purdy. Give the kid a break. The Seattle Seahawks beat the Rams yesterday. Sean McVay is another. Sean McVay had a window in Los Angeles. They all bought in. They got a Super Bowl. And then this year didn't pan out right because people got injured. And they have no cap space because they've also kind of made a couple of bad trades. But it helped them win a Super Bowl. And that matters. I think he's going to take a couple of years off. I think he's going to go to TV. I think he's going to be wonderful on TV. It'd be must-see TV to listen to him on how he sees a game. Geno Smith going to Seattle, replacing Russell Wilson, and getting them into the playoffs. Now, once again, they're in the playoffs, and they're 9-8. There was a lot of bad football this year, folks. There are some great teams. When you look at this, the Buffalo Bills are a great team. The Cincinnati Bengals are a great team. The Kansas City Chiefs are a great team. The Philadelphia Eagles, before injuries, were a great team. The Minnesota Vikings, no. Tampa Bay, no. And the San Francisco 49ers, even though people say they don't play anybody, is a great team. Seattle did what they needed to do, and Geno Smith was the one that led them. And once again, yesterday he did what he's been doing. 19 for 31, 213 yards. He had a touchdown, no turnovers. Kenneth Walker III had 114 yards on the ground. They did what they had to do. The biggest disappointment game yesterday, number one, this is a Washington Commanders-Dallas Cowboy game, which is one of the longest-standing rivalries. They don't like each other. And the Cowboys go there and get blown out. Sam Howell's first-time quarterbacking, and they beat them 26-6. Doesn't put Cowboys in a really good position, but I don't know how much that matters going into the playoffs. And then the final game last night, and here's the – so Matt LaFleur, see, now when I don't need to remember his name when I'm calling it out, I can't, but now I can. Matt LaFleur did not get a good game out of Aaron Rodgers last night. He did not throw the ball well. Their offense didn't play well. The Lions had absolutely nothing to play for, except for to take the words that Aaron Rodgers had said, you can't lose to teams like this to get into the playoffs, and they lost to him. Dan Campbell's done an amazing job. And what I was getting ready to say before is that the Seattle, I know that they took that game to get it on NBC and get it on night because it's Green Bay. But the way that should have been, the only time that Eagles game, or excuse me, the Packers-Lions game and the Seahawks-Rams game should have been played at the same time. And except for everybody didn't understand what Dan Campbell stands for. No matter what, he was playing that game hard last night. He was playing that game to win. Jared Goff, I have his – I'm trying to see what I did with it. It's crazy. He threw for 4,424 yards. He threw for 29 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. He completed 65% of his passes and had a 99.9 passer rating. He's in what the article said, he's a top 10 quarterback. Well, I don't think there was 10 quarterbacks that had better stats than that. I think there were probably 5, 6 for sure. I mean, he's a quality quarterback that the Detroit Lions can now go out and spend money on other things. That's a reclamation story right there, and it's fun to see. I don't know if Matt LaFleur is in trouble. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers, what he's going to do, but here's the money, and this is all that matters. These are the cap hits for Aaron Rodgers next year. If he plays, the cap hit is $31.6 million. If he's traded, the cap hit is $40.3 million. If he retires, the cap hit is $40.3 million. And if he's released, the cap hit is $99.7 million to pay him. And oh yeah, by the way, and this is on a sad part for me to finish off this 26-second segment. After the game last night, Alan Lazard was interviewed. And Alan Lazard does not believe that he is going to be his contract's up. He does not believe he's going to be back with the Green Bay Packers. And the minute that came out, you should have seen the things that were popping. I mean, Chicago Bears. I mean, there are teams. A good running passing team, having an Alan Lazard and his blocking and his abilities makes or breaks a different team. And another Cyclone is in the same boat. David Montgomery not expected to sign with the Chicago Bears. What a pickup that could be. So, a couple of exciting things. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. We're going to talk a little Hawkeye basketball and Cyclone basketball, both men and women, coming up next.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 17.
Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday. We're in the latter part of the 5 o'clock hour here. Drive home safe. Want to get you home. It's a Monday. Happy Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Coming up on the radio waves, you're going to get Chiefs Kingdom after me tonight because we have a Northern Iowa Murray State game tomorrow night. And we also have the Hawkeye Huddle. So we're going to move Chiefs Kingdom up there tonight. Saturday, we get Northern Iowa at Belmont. And then we have our run of Saturday, you have Chargers and Jags. Then Sundays, you have Dolphins, Bills, Giants, Vikings, Ravens, Bengals. And Monday, you have Cowboys and Buccaneers. I'm out tomorrow and out the following Monday. Monday for a holiday. And tomorrow, I have some things I need to do up in Ames. Kind of excited. So not trying to do that very often, but sometimes when things fall into place, you gotta do what you gotta do. Wanted to talk a little bit about Iowa State and Iowa basketball, and I wanted to start with a feel good story. The Iowa Hawkeyes. I don't know how good Rutgers felt after the game, but the Iowa Hawkeyes played Rutgers and had a really good game. Peyton Sanford had a good game. And it's only a matter of time before that young man breaks out of his struggles. Fran McCaffrey said the whole Rutgers team had put together a card for Patrick. See, that's a good story. It's a story that probably didn't get reported. If Fran was yelling and screaming, that's all they would have talked about, not the other stuff. That is a feel-good story for Rutgers and for everybody. The feel-bad story I don't think it was particular in this game, but there are a lot of games in the Big Ten. I think every Big Ten coach, except for Fran McCaffrey, because he knows if he says the things that these other coaches do, he would be getting fined or suspended. But these other coaches, and their words have not been nice about officiating in the Big Ten. It is almost like a. I know they love their wrestling in the Big Ten. But come on, it's basketball. You got to pull back on some of that. It's been pretty bad. Some of those games, but we'll take a look at the Hawkeyes first. The Hawkeyes are 2-3. They are 10-6 on the season. They are playing better. Like I said, they beat Rutgers. I don't know on a good team. Rutgers is a good team. I think I'll click back one more. Rutgers is 3-2. So it's not like they're not a good team. But Iowa went up to Rutgers and kind of handed it to him, which was a much needed win. That gives them a couple of big wins because they had a big win over Indiana too. That was a home game where you really need to win. This Rutgers game was a big pickup. In that game last night, they were led by Peyton Samford. He had 22 points. Flip Rebecca is still playing well. He had 16 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 3 turnovers. Then Aaron Ulis had 4 turnovers. They gotta calm that down a little bit. Only had 15 turnovers total. Only had 14 personal fouls, which is, and there was only 16 personal fouls against Rutgers. That's low compared to Chris Murray had 17. It was a win they needed, and I'm gonna tell you that they won this game. Maybe Rutgers was just Iowa is not built on playing defense, but they play defense. Rutgers shot 38% from the floor, 27% from 3-point line, and 80% from the line. Iowa shot 44 field goals, 44 from 3-point. That's a huge deal. They shoot 44. They shot 27 3-pointers, and they made 12. They get 12 3-pointers in their games. They're going to win a lot of those games. They were 14-19 from the free throw line. They out-rebounded them by 4. Actually, out-rebounded them by 2. They had 7 more assists and Iowa had 15 turnovers. Rutgers had 7. So they continue on now. Now they go to Michigan. Michigan is hit or miss. Maryland is hit or miss. Northwestern is playing really well right now. Ohio State is kind of hit or miss right now. Michigan State is playing really well. Then they get Rutgers again, Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota. I mean, it's a gauntlet. The Big Ten is pretty good. But once again, Peyton Samford, it's special. That he's a really good player who has the ability to be a great player. And Flip Rebecca is a lot of fun to watch. He's active, and it was a big win. And I think it might even have been, the Indiana game. It was a home game though. This is a road game. That's After doing a couple of things on the road that they've done this year, that was a big win. Iowa State. Let's jump over there. Iowa State this week they've had a pretty good week. They get Texas Tech tomorrow. It says Texas Tech's 0-3. I don't buy it. I mean, that's a tough team to play. The way they play defense and the way they may manhandle people sometimes. Click on here. Iowa State went for the week. They beat Oklahoma in Oklahoma and went and took care of TCU at TCU. That's two huge road wins. No matter who you're playing, those are two huge road wins. They get Texas Tech at home. Then they have to go to Kansas. Then they get Texas at home. You know, let me finish with this and then I'll say that. The TCU game was, we were watching it at the bunker. Love the bunker. Bunker in Pleasant Hill. It's the restaurant sports lounge for Copper Creek Golf Course, which my family, me and Jen, are members of. So we enjoy going there. It was brutal to watch. I mean, brutal. When you click on this, this is a game that a lot of teams would not have won. The fouls. Let's just start there. Iowa State was called for 21 fouls. TCU was called for 13. TCU went to the line 28 times. Iowa State went to the line 9. The thing that helped Iowa State, they made TCU turn the ball over 18 times. Assists were good. Rebounds, they out-rebounded them. You had a team effort here, and this is a lot like last year's team. When someone doesn't have a good game, or the other people pick him up. Caleb Grill, their whole game plan was not to allow Caleb Grill to get a shot, and he was 1 for 5. But he had five rebounds, he had 2 assists, he had a steal. Even though he only scored 3 points, he was still a big deal on the floor. Sunye had 7. Taman Lipsy had 10. Once again, against a tough backcourt, he had 10 points. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 turnovers. Jaron Holmes had 10. Gabe Kauscher had 15 and the game winner. Robert Jones had 10. And probably the MVP of the game, Trey King, had 12, 4 boards, and a huge steal. It was and Watson got in as well. He got 12 minutes, and he's going to be an interesting player to see. We didn't shoot the ball particularly well. We did from the floor. We shot 52, almost 53%. We shot 25% from the three-point line, and we were 3 of 9 from the free throw line. We got to do better than that, especially at the timing that we missed some of those free throws. We held them to 50% shooting from the field, three-point. They shot 46. They also helped us out by being 16 of 28 from the free throw line. It was a huge win for Iowa State. Now what you have to do is you have to come back home after two days rest and practicing, and you got to come back and play Texas Tech, and then you go in and you have to play Kansas. You want to keep this running. What I was going to mention before is looking at this. I watched the Texas game because the Texas game was on before the Iowa State game was, and Texas was playing and I apologize for doing that, but it's just easy to do it this way. They were playing Oklahoma State. And it was a close game most of the game, 56-46. But I guess what I saw the most, and I watched Tyrese Hunter play last year. And most games, he was a absolute joy to watch play. And I watched him in this offense and in this setup. And he took 8 shots, made 1. He was 0 for 3 from the 3-point line. He had 6 rebounds. He had 0 assists. He had 3 turnovers and a personal foul. And this team has Marcus Carr, who took 11 shots. Had 3 turnovers. Marcus Carr has to have the ball in his hands. There was a lot of times that Tyrese Hunter was just standing out there. I'm thinking, man, I get, you know, and I have no idea. There could have been any kind of any number of circumstances that he left. If it was NIL money at the top of it, I don't know if that's, and I get also the simple fact that the Texas Longhorns are in, they're in a little bit of disarray too, right? Because they lost their coach. Their coach has been fired. I mean, one of the reasons I think Tyrese went, I don't know if it's a good reason, but I think one of the reasons he went, I think he wanted to go. I think Chris Beard did a good job of selling Tyrese Hunter on what he could come down to Texas and do. TJ was kind of an unknown. You would think there would be a little bit more there because of their Wisconsin ties. Maybe he didn't want to be there with Damon Lipsy coming in. I was one of those that said from day one with Taman, I thought he was going to be a player. Is he a guy that's going to go off for 30 points like Tyrese did? No, but he's a guy that's going to win you a lot of basketball games. The Cyclones were fun to watch. The Hawkeyes were fun to watch. Drake and you and I, man, they're battling. The women are battling. Iowa State, I have not seen. It doesn't sales from the Iowa State women, their center, 6'6 center. I haven't seen, unless somebody can help me, I hadn't seen a report yet today what they've actually said is the prognosis. But I, looking at Bill Finley and Junior, they didn't look very happy. That would be a devastating blow. She just gives them something they've just never had, that ability to clog the middle, get rebounds, get easy points. She's a good shooter. She's a good free throw. I mean, all those things. Caitlin Clark still doing Caitlin Clark things. They're right into the middle of starting these Big 12, Big 10 things. You know, both of these teams are going to make the NCAA tournament. There's a shot, you know, the Bulldogs, that hurt losing one of their players the other day. You would like to see more than two get in. I still think that Iowa and Iowa State both have a really good shot of making it into the NCAAs. I think Drake or you and I have a chance to win a conference, win a Missouri Valley tournament. It's not out of the realm to see what we can do. They're fun to watch, though. I think that's the part that I like the most about watching the teams. You know, even the Iowa State, how Iowa plays, I enjoy watching the way they play. I enjoy watching their players. Connor McCaffrey got a little banged up. Of all the players that are out there, I mean, Chris Murray would be a big one, but losing Connor McCaffrey would really hurt that team. And for Iowa State, you know, expectations, once again, weren't as high as what maybe they should have been, and they're getting a lot of good play, and they don't rely. Neither one of these two teams rely on a player to get points so they can win a basketball game. It's easily shared, great coaching. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day.
Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody, once again. Happy Monday. Hope everybody had a great Monday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, real sports talk for real sports fans. Check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ and the website 1700thechamp.com. I'm going to read Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023, now we can just say 2023. I need to crush because I always do that. In 2023, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 300 jobs open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin, customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage and banking keep the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Want to thank Palmer Group. Want to thank Heritage Building Maintenance, Des Moines Orthopedic, Northwest Bank, and Woodman Controls for being a part of the program. Okay, so here today, off tomorrow, then here on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. David Eicholt coming in on Wednesday, John Schaefer coming in on Thursday, Melissa from Children. I always get my services mixed up here, and I apologize. They are Central Iowa Shelter and Services. Melissa's coming on. Melissa came to my breakfast club. In our breakfast club, and talked about it. We went, my wife and I went down and visited the organization a couple of weeks ago, even more excited about being a part and helping and learning and talking about what it is and what it means. And we're going to do that, and you're going to be shocked with. You're going to be shocked on numbers. You're going to be shocked on, you know, reasons. And then you're going to be shocked on all the things that they can do and how they do it and what they need to keep doing it with help and manpower and dollars and all of that. Can't wait to be able to do that as well. Just excited. Very excited to Scott comes back on Thursday. He's out hunting. So we have all this going on. Wanted just to talk a little bit about, we were sitting there. There's one, two, three, four. There's five Broncos, Cardinals, Colts, Panthers, Texans. There's five openings right now out in the NFL, and the majority of people that I've seen for these openings are all defensive coordinators without head coaching experience, and I'm thinking, you know, how can people that are helping, you know, the general manager, the president, the owners, all sitting at a table, and they look at what the NFL is, and they go, you know what we need to run our team is a person to make our better defense. And then I'm looking at these stats. And I'm not saying that these teams don't have good defenses, but the Buffalo Bills, so the Kansas City Chiefs, and I'm going to use these two first. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles got the byes. Their point differential for the season's points for, points against. Kansas City is plus 127. The Philadelphia Eagles are plus 133. Then you look at the other, now Miami, a lot of injuries, a lot of ups and downs, a 5-0 and then an 0-5 and a couple here and a couple there. They were minus two. Opponents scored two more points than the Miami Dolphins, but they're still in the playoffs. Offensive-minded coach, a lot of injuries. The Baltimore Ravens are plus 35. John Harbaugh's not a defensive coach, but they base on defense. They don't have weapons. It's scary. The Jacksonville Jaguars are plus 54. One of the reasons they won that division, they are at the least, there are 115 different in point differential than the next team in line. That is a really bad. I mean, they were 9-8. Tennessee Titans are 7-10. The Tennessee Titans, after watching them over the weekend, they can't throw the ball. And Derrick Henry can't run against eight people all the time. The Kansas City Chiefs are plus 127. They're in. The Chargers are plus seven. They're in. Another defensive coordinator. A defensive coordinator, first-time head coach, made a lot of mistakes. And to be really honest, they probably got lucky to get into the playoffs even yesterday. And Mike Williams got hurt. And Joey Bosa got hurt a little bit yesterday. And they didn't need to be playing because they didn't have anywhere they could go but where they're at. The Dallas Cowboys are plus 125. The Dallas Cowboys are 12-5. Dak missed a couple of games, but they won those games. They're 12-5 because Dak Prescott isn't taking care of the football. This is the kicker one, and this is why no one trusts in the Minnesota Vikings. They're 13-4. They're minus three. They've been outscored by 3 points during the season. The Detroit Lions are 9-8 and are plus 26. and the Detroit Lions started 1-6. If Dan Campbell gets any kind of gravity in those first seven games, they win that division. Tampa Bay is minus 45. They're even worse. They can't score, and when they win, they're not winning in shootouts. And I'm telling you right now, the Dallas Cowboys are not happy that they have to go to Tampa Bay and play Tom Brady. I don't think I would be either. The San Francisco 49ers are plus 173. The Seattle Seahawks are plus 6. So this is what I'm going to say about the San Francisco 49ers for the people that are saying, and it's not just because it's Brock Purdy. I'd be saying this because I like the San Francisco 49ers. We're like, well, they haven't played anybody. Well, there's a lot of teams in the NFL that you didn't know were going to be this bad or this good. What's San Francisco done? When they play a non-competitive team, they beat them by a lot. They're plus 173. They're on a 10-game winning streak. It's the NFL. All these players get paid millions of dollars. It's not like they're playing Division I AA schools and everybody else are playing Power 5 conference schools. They're playing in the NFL, and they're plus 173. There's a reason. So when you are the Broncos, and you are the Cardinals, and you are the Colts, and you are the Panthers, and you are the Texans, and you're looking to hire defensive coaches again, look at the NFL. I'm sitting here in Urbandale, Iowa, telling you. And the first thing I said this to somebody today, they said, well, the Broncos hired an offensive guy. They hired Aaron Rodgers' quarterback coach. Aaron Rodgers doesn't listen to anybody. Do you really think Nathaniel Hackett had anything to do with Aaron Rodgers being good or bad? The Denver Broncos brought in Nathaniel Hackett hoping that Aaron Rodgers could talk his way out of Green Bay and get to Denver because he wants out of Green Bay. He doesn't want to be there, and they don't want to let him go to punish him. I don't know what it is. How you are going to – if Jim Harbaugh comes and coaches, he's not an offensive or a defensive guy. He's just an overall head coach that knows that he has to have a good offensive coordinator and a good defensive coordinator and then have them follow, come up with a game plan and have it follow it, but let them do some things that they can do. If I had to sit around and every week, and this is why the Chicago Bears have to figure it out. I would much rather watch. I mean, seriously, I like watching the Chargers because Justin Herbert is amazing. Watching Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, watching them play. Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars with Doug Peterson had to learn, not only did they have to trust in him and do all that, they had to learn how to win because Urban Meyer sucked it out of them. And you're looking at these coaches, and then I had people today, and I have it really, really quick. They're like, well, maybe they'll jump from college and go to the NFL. Urban Meyer was 2-11. Matt Rule was 11-27. Cliff Kingsbury was 28-37. Bill O'Brien from way back was at least 52-48. Chip Kelly, who they ran out of the NFL, and now they run Chip Kelly's system, was 26-21. Doug Marrone was 15-17. Greg Schiano was 11-21. Jim Harbaugh was 44-19-1, and you think there's not teams out there that would take Jim Harbaugh? Bobby Petrino was 3-10. Nick Saban was 15-17. Steve Spurrier was 12-20. Butch Davis was 24-35. You're not hiring a college football coach. It's not the same. But you better have somebody on your list that you can hire. If you're a defensive coordinator, you better have an offensive specialist on your list, or those teams aren't going to be any good. I'm looking at that list, and the only team I'm going to, and I can't believe I'm saying this, would be the Broncos, because at least you have somebody that's been a good quarterback. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Sorry. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. I appreciate you all. See you on Wednesday.
Here's a look at traffic.